Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. A British writer and a Canadian comedian walk onto a train. It's not the setup to a joke, it's the beginning of an entire night of them. Lorelei Mathias and Evie Stamatov are the organisers of Lemon Comedy, a new event that aims to promote diverse voices in the comedy scene. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So why put this night together, Lorelei?
Well, we saw a slight problem in the community here, and I guess it's a global issue that there's not equal representation in comedy nights of, you know, people in society aren't exactly representative from all the walks of life that we feel they could be. Women, for instance, there's only 25% in the comedy scene here. In the festival, that was reflected across the board with the programming of the festival and also the television galas. It was only 25% women, and we think everything's moving in the right direction, but we just wanted to do our little bit to help that along.
Evie, why are the numbers that low for women? Women are funny.
Women are funny, as much as maybe some people will make jokes that they aren't. I think it goes a lot deeper than maybe the surface level of, you know, maybe some people might assume that you're faced with comments saying that you can't go on stage. It's a lot deeper than that. I think issues of representation in the arts makes it so that people from diverse backgrounds don't necessarily see people all the time in roles of success in the arts that they look like or that they identify with. So I think that's one of the reasons why it goes deeper than just that surface level of representation.
So what actually changes when the people on stage are more diverse? Is the comedy different?
What we found with last month's Lemon was that the stories people are telling are naturally more diverse. And what we love about Lemon is that the audience, you feel yourself being slightly shaken out of your comfort zone, and you're told comedy that makes you think and shakes you out of your sort of safety net and perspective. And yeah, it's kind of one of our mantras is a quote from the play The Comedians by Trevor Griffiths that comedy is medicine, not coloured sweeties to rot their teeth with. So that's something we really like the idea of, that our comedy is, it's a tiny bit harder to swallow, but still very funny, but it might leave you changed in some way and kind of going out into the world going, I didn't know that about how that makes that person feel, and a bit more confronting.
So Evie, does that mean that it's more political comedy then? It's comedy with a purpose. It's not for the sake of laughs.
Well, inherently, identity is political. And I don't necessarily think that the comics have to make a concerted effort to be political. But I think many of their jokes tend to be political because if you're a minority living in this world, you walk through life in a different sort of way. And that bleeds into your life. But at the same time, there's also the comedians that we have on stage are just funny. And sometimes they're just telling their jokes about what it's like to be a human being in this world. So it's not necessarily always going to be talking about quotas in the government, but identity is political inherently.
So this is billed as promoting diverse voices. Does that mean curating? I don't want to say safe space, because I think that that's a loaded term, really, in our conversation. And comedy doesn't tend to be safe, but is it also about thinking about the kind of space and audiences some of these people might get to give them perhaps more confidence as they begin?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things Deanne Smith called out in our first event, which was really lovely, she said, oh, well, you know, that comedy clubs can be horrible places and I feel so safe here. You know, it's a gay bookshop. We're all safe here. And I thought that was really lovely. And definitely the atmosphere was, but it did feel really safe. And Antu is a Vietnamese Australian comic here, and he did touch on some very difficult stuff of his own personal racism that he's encountered. And it was hard to watch, but also very, again, cathartic, which is what we love about the stories people tell on stage. And so he had that safe space to explore that material that wasn't easy, you know, easy listening a lot of the time. But certainly it's a safe space. Also, we wouldn't allow anyone on that could do offensive material. We're quite careful in the people we book on and areas that sexism and racism we just wouldn't have on stage. And it wouldn't fly. It wouldn't go down well. They'd be booed off, I imagine.
Yeah, because of the kind of audience that you're also inviting in, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's a two-way street, definitely.
Is it reasonable to put limits on comedy? How do you avoid the night becoming worthy?
Mm.
Yeah, it's difficult, right? Because especially like you touched on, in comedy, part of the appeal of comedy is that it's gritty and right. that it's
the
daring.
The right to offend.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's a bunch of debates going on right now about censorship. But I think that comes down to making constructive comedy. And if you're a skilled comedian, you can touch on basically any issue if you frame it in the right way. So it is difficult. And I think Lorelai and I had a lot of discussions about that because, for instance, our comedy and night is held in a gay bookstore. So there was an opportunity or a potential for it to be seen as stuffy. But yeah, how do we keep that grittiness? And I think it all stems to the comedians and they're on stage doing, like Lorelai mentioned, really hard-hitting stuff. But it's daring. And it's interesting and it's constructive and it challenges the status quo. And I think that is gritty in and of itself. Another reason why we love diverse comedy is that it is this difficult sort of comedy. And one of my comedy mentors once told me that good comedy comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comforted. So I think that's one of the reasons why diverse comedy has the potential to really shake up the scene and to break the status quo and to create a new sort of comedy scene that keeps that grittiness but is also constructive and shapes a new world.
Yeah, and I feel like it's tapping into a trend we saw this year at the festival, the Melbourne Comedy Festival, where some of the most popular or most talked about shows was Richard Gadd and Hannah Gadsby. And those two shows, I cried for 90% of, you know, they were so incredible and but so cathartic. And you just left going, I can't believe what they went through. That's so hard. But also laughing at it because they just did these really clever things that made you think but laugh at the same time. I think that's the holy grail of the theatrical experience.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis, and my guests in the drawing room tonight are Evie Stamatov and Lorelai Mathias. They're the organisers behind the Lemon Comedy Showcase. You mentioned before that comedy can be a mean space for performers, and that's right. I mean, I've been to comedy shows where there's a lot of heckling, and I always think, oh, I don't know if I'd have a thick enough skin to endure that. I mean, you know, I've given speeches where some people seem like they tune off and I can't cope. You know, it's like, it's hard. How do you kind of allow the audience to respond as they want to organically, but still make it a more respectful space so it's not such an ugly scene?
Yeah, I think that comes down again to the comedians. And as I host Lemon Comedy, and I think the MC role has a certain role in that as well, in that they're setting the stage for what will be accepted. They set the rules of the night, I suppose. But yeah, I think it ultimately comes down to the comedians and the vibes that you set. Part of the magic of comedy is that comedians do face this sort of meanness. And you know what? The real world is mean. So in many ways, the comedy scene does echo the real world. And when comedians are able to take that and spin that and all of a sudden come out on top and demonstrate that they've lived through this hardship and they've beat it and they can laugh in the face of it and just so skillfully take someone who is ignorant or perhaps is trying to knock them down and then beat them with wit. I mean, that just comes down to, you know, like in Shakespeare's time, that was the fool's role. And that's why so many of those plays were so, those characters were revered. So I think it ultimately comes down to the skill of the comedian and fostering a community that can overcome that.
So what is the role of the MC? Do you need to be funnier than everyone else? Or are you kind of the straight person just setting the rules?
Oh, well, you're funny. I mean, you're a bit funny. They are, yeah. They're a comedian as well. And they tell their jokes. The main role of the comedian is to keep the night going and to honor the other acts and to get the audience excited for the comedians that are on stage. And at the same time, if perhaps the audience is going off track and maybe a comedian didn't do so well in their act, to bring them back up and to get their energy back up to that vibe that you wanted to create with the show. So it's a difficult role. I think it's more like a whip than it is the honorable comedian role.
And I mentioned a little earlier that, you know, you guys fell into each other's arms to put this together. But tell me about that journey that you kind of, like, what were those early conversations like?
Yeah, we first met, I saw Evie at Raw Comedy, one of the early heats, and I loved her act. And I was actually scouting for some film sketches that my friend Emma and I write. So I just formed a sketch collective called Melon Comedy. So that's the backstory. And that's a very early days project, but we wanted Evie to be in one of them. And we couldn't make the dates work, but then I took her details anyway, and then it was total serendipity that we had to then meet on a train a few weeks later.
Melbourne is a magical place.
Yeah. And we got chatting, and then I kind of asked her a bit more about what she did, and she'd just come over from Toronto to be a stand-up and was finding the scene a little bit more challenging. And I think she used the phrase boys club with a capital B, and I was like, God, that's really interesting, because I was writing an article at the time for Beat magazine on diversity in comedy, so my kind of antennae were out all the time, and I was looking at comedy nights, small nights, and you know, Thornbury, Tego Mago, all over the city I've been going to local comedy nights. And then Evie's been going on and doing open mics, so we both had very different perspectives on the same problem, I suppose. And then it was just, yeah, fate that, I mean, Evie had the idea of doing a diversity night but hadn't started it, and I was like, well, I've got all this knowledge of all these people I've been scouting, so this could work really well, let's team up. And yeah.
So Evie, you say, well, you've been quoted as saying that Melbourne is more challenging. How does Canada compare?
Yeah,
sure, you've got a really good looking, you know, Prime Minister, but beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, so I come from Toronto, which is a very multicultural city. So it is a little bit more diverse in terms of race, but still not up to par. I found when I came to Melbourne, the racial diversity was a lot less. And again, Toronto is one of the most multicultural cities in North America.
But Melbourne's pretty multicultural too.
Yeah, yeah. And but I still found that in comedy, you didn't get much diversity. It was still very white, heteronormative, male, Western-centric comedy and stories being told, which is great. But I wanted to see, because some of my favorite stories that I've heard are those diverse stories that are like completely new and a new point of view. So it wasn't diverse enough for me. And I want to hear more stories. And so like Lorelai said, I'd been thinking about producing a diversity night. And when we met, it seemed to sort of line up. We were sort of star-crossed producers, I suppose.
Yes.
We wanted an opportunity to amplify the voices of diverse comedians and diverse stories and celebrate diverse voices in comedy.
So who are the people you've seen in Australia or the world that you think are the gateway into this for people who might be thinking, comedy, you know, who can people look up?
Oh, there's so many, so many. I mean, the festival itself, there was an incredible amount of people from all diverse backgrounds. They have a lot of initiatives. Surim Jayaman is incredible, has some really confronting material about racism and comes at it from a different angle. He has this line where he's like, I couldn't believe the words, I grew here, you flew here, when they came out of my mouth. And then he kind of escalates and said it to his own parents. And, you know, just kind of like really surprising things about his own circumstance. So he's a great one to watch.
Hannah Gatsby won the Barry Award this year at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
like Lorelai was speaking about before, that show, Nanette, was groundbreaking.
Yeah, very hard-hitting, but absolutely incredible.
I think from the North American space, Michael Shea, he's one of the writers on Saturday Night Live right now. He just had a special on Netflix called Matters, where he tackles race issues in America. I thought it was one of the best specials that I've seen in a really long time, so I think he's worth checking out as well.
Yeah, and from the New Order showcase that the International Comedy Festival did, Ahir Shah, he was absolutely brilliant and had some really funny material on Sikhism that I was just laughing my head off. He's brilliant. I'd love to, it's very early days with all of this, but when I get back to London eventually, look at trying to maybe do a London equivalent.
Well, my other question was, this is now, Lemon is now based in Melbourne, mm-hmm. but I'm sure the whole country enjoys comedy and we're national. So
surely they do.
Listening in Brisbane or in Darwin, you're thinking, when is it our turn?
Well, I mean, there's so much talent all over there. I mean, actually, in booking both the nights, we have encountered people who aren't based in Melbourne that can't get here. So it's been, oh, if we do a Sydney event or if we do a Brisbane one, you know, there's plenty of people out there. It's just we had to start somewhere.
You've always got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Part of our mission with Lemon, too, is to try and democratize comedy. We want, just as much as it is something for comedians to do, something for the audience to participate in. So whether it be as an audience member, whether it be as a critic, whether it be as a producer, we want to really open that space and democratize it to empower people, like you said, in Brisbane, you know, in Darwin, to start their own night. If you're not seeing the type of comedy or this type of stories that you want to see, let's empower people to put on their own.
They're like, why wait for us?
All you guys. All you need is a microphone, man.
I like how you've just announced your expansion plans. Thank you so much to both of you. You've been great guests.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Lorelai Mathias and Evie Stematov have been my guests tonight in the drawing room. They're the organisers of Lemon Comedy. And if you're in Melbourne, you can catch the show this Thursday night.